All right. Well, it's time. Welcome to the Aging Well Together show. I am thrilled to have everyone back here. We are absolutely excited to bring you this new weekly show. We are on WCOMLP, Chapel Hill, Carrboro. We're coming to you on 103.5 FM. Aging Well Together is also available to stream via WCOM's website, which is wcomfm.org, or through your streaming service. Aging Well Together, we are now a weekly radio program. This is our fifth show, and we are brought to you by the Orange County Department on Aging. And please join us each week as we interview special guests to share information, resources, insights, and stories about the opportunities for aging well together. We are a work in progress, if you haven't been able to tell so far. And so if you have suggestions for upcoming show topics, please email us at agingwelltogethershow@gmail.com. And many thanks to our listeners that have already started sending me some great ideas. We always try to share local resources on this program. So if you want more information on any of the issues, you can email us at agingwelltogethershow@gmail.com, or please connect with the Orange County Department on Aging, and they can be reached at 919-968-2070 or through their website at orangecountync.gov/aging. I am back. I am your host, Heather Altman. I've spent the last 20 plus years working in aging services locally. I'm a caregiver for older family members, and at 52, I'm focusing on my own changing needs, so I am super invested in how we are all aging well together. And I'm so excited my fabulous co-host Alicia Reed is back with us this week. Welcome back, Alicia.
Hello, everybody.
We didn't scare you away yet.
Not this time.
All right. So last week's show was all about getting our bodies moving through exercise. This is going to be an ongoing show issue where Alicia is trying to get everyone, but specifically me, moving. But today's topic is still all about getting our bodies moving, but this time we're going to be talking about transportation. And we are so excited to welcome Brandi Beaker. Yay!
Thank you so much for letting me be here today.
You are here on our Aging Well Together show. Brandi is the transportation specialist for the Orange County Department on Aging, and she's going to tell us all about her work assisting our community members in understanding and accessing their transportation options. Brandi also coordinates the Senior Center's volunteer driving program and operates the transportation helpline. So there's going to be lots of resources for her to share. And we are thrilled to have you here, Brandi. And I'm not sure if you know this. I always try to surprise our guests. You have the honor of being the most talked about guest in the short history of our program.
Oh, right. I believe it. Yeah, no, I very popular. Not popular in high school, but in my job now, yeah, I get a lot of love. So it's happy to be here.
You get a lot of love through your work, but literally on this show, this is our fourth show in a few minutes, and every single show we've done a shout out to Brandi. I don't know, your other colleagues have been on the show and they're all like, I don't know, talk to Brandi, get her advice. So everyone has been giving out your name and number on each of our previous shows so people can contact you. And we're not sure if you're mad at us. And so we didn't tell you this beforehand, but it's great to finally have you here in person.
Well, thanks again. And yeah, no, I am give anybody my number because I am, even if you're not an older person that lives in Orange County, I am happy to connect you to resources that can help because I'm pretty well versed in all of those things. But I think that just speaks to the way I am part of the Aging Transitions team. So we do have the one-stop aging help information line at 968-2087. And so I work with a team of social workers and occupational therapists, and I'm just the transportation person. So, I mean, obviously.
Not just. Someone said you can never say just.
Not just, sorry.
I am the transportation czar, goddess, queen.
Master transportation.
But yeah, so like, you know, all that connects together because if you can't get to services, then the services, they might as well not exist. So my job's very important.
Well, that's great. And it's great that you gave out the number. If you could also give out your personal number and your social security number, that would be awesome.
Well, it's all in the Endless Possibilities book there, but
we were talking last week, who was it? LaTanya called it a newsletter. And we're like, this is not a newsletter. It's a catalog. It's a booklet.
A quarterly catalog of all of the offerings. Like, it's amazing.
I just picked up mine yesterday. I was back at the Seymour Center and I saw it. And I think this is the June one. And I was like, I'm going to need it.
Did you pick up two? One for your dad?
Alicia is obsessed with my dad.
I am
with you right now and not him. He just flew back in from meetings in D.C. and I didn't pick him up at the airport because I wanted to be here with you lovelies, but I'm going to see him right after the show, and yes, I will bring him a copy.
That could be some form of abuse.
Another friend is picking him up.
Yeah, I get people picked up from the airport sometimes because that is certainly a request for my volunteer driving program.
We have so much. Okay, before we dive into transportation, and I want to know more about you and your background and kind of where you grew up, where you from, how you started getting involved with transportation, how you landed. There's got to be some good pun. How you drove up to this position. How you got busted to this.
So I did not learn to drive until I was 25 years old. And I'm from Concord, North Carolina. So it's not
home
like
of the great outlet malls.
Yes, absolutely. And I walked everywhere that I needed to go, or I got rides from my friends. But I couldn't afford to drive, and I was also very anxious about it. Mm-hmm. I know it was a big responsibility, and so I was just like, I'm not going to worry about that. So when I started college at UNC Chapel Hill in 1999...
Go Tigers!
Yes, the buses were not fare free. They were 75 cents to get on them, except for the U-Bus and the RU, which was just the circulator. But I loved it. I was like, what? I would take the F bus to the mall. And then, of course, I met my now husband, who did have a car, but it was off campus. So we would take the bus to Carbro, where he parked his car at a friend's house. And then he would take me places. But, yeah, so I feel like not driving has really impacted my life, but for the better, because it's given me a different perspective. Mm-hmm. I did learn to drive when I was 25. Then I ended up working for Go Triangle. Mm-hmm. It was Triangle Transit at the time. Started as a temp. Then I volunteered to write for the blog, and then that kind of grew into a marketing and communications position. So I used to do their social media. That was great because I was pretending to be three different buses talking to myself.
Wait, what?
Yeah, because I was the Bull City Connector, I was Go Triangle, and then I was also Triangle Transit. And so I would share my own statuses and things like that. But
that's so fun. Yeah, and then you'd get retweeted by yourself,
yes,
by each of your different...
Absolutely. It was a great job, super fun. And I was actually, I think people referred to my department as the unicorns and rainbows department, just because we had so much fun. We would laugh, like we won awards. It was wonderful. I encourage you to check out Go Triangle's social media. If you don't know, they are the regional transportation provider. They go between Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill, so they connect the pieces of the triangle.
Oh my gosh. I
never knew. We're so honored to have you with us here in Orange County.
Well,
because wow.
I know you bring a wealth of experience, and we're so glad you're here today because we're so busy talking about you behind your back. When's Brandy coming on the show? We have questions. Alicia last week was busy asking other folks, "Hey, how would you get from this place to this place?" And they're like, "I think Brandy's coming on next show. Don't ask us."
And I probably won't be able to tell you, but what I will tell other, like what I tell when people call me, I don't know that, but let me do a little research and I will get back to you.
All right. So you were the social media goddess for a number of buses and all part of Go Transit. And then how did you switch to
our
area?
Yeah, well, in 2020, I applied for a job with Orange County Department of Transportation as the TDM coordinator. And TDM stands for Transportation Demand Management. And basically, that is just how to reduce greenhouse gases and get people to where they need to go. So using alternatives to driving alone.
That's a mighty big task.
Yeah, like it came from, I think that term came from the 70s during fuel shortages and things like that. So slugging and carpooling, and people were trying to figure that out. The government kind of put some money behind that, and now there are TDM coordinators in the area. Currently, I don't think we have one for Orange County. That was me, mm-hmm. but I was poached by the Department on Aging in July 2021.
I know we like poached. Good poaching.
Yeah,
and
like I
kind of a crazy time. If I remember July of 2021, we were and mm-hmm. still are a bit in the middle of a crazy global pandemic, and that really affected people's interest in leaving their house and also congregating with others on public transportation.
Exactly.
That's a crazy time to switch jobs.
The first year of my job with Orange County, I was just like, don't get on the bus. Whatever you do, don't unless you have to, like, and like here's hand washing etiquette and like just all kinds of information about keeping it clean. But when the buses did open up, I'm like, well, these buses are clean now because that is a silver lining, so to speak, of the pandemic. Public transportation facilities are very, very clean now. And that still seems to be keeping up. I went from telling people, please get on the bus, stop driving, to stay home.
Don't get on the
work from home, telework, which was, we sort of pivoted to promoting that, which was always a part of TDM. But when I got the opportunity in 2021 to come to the Department on Aging, I jumped at it because I was like, yeah, this is, I really like to connect people with resources that can help improve their lives. And this is less of an abstract. I'm not a Twitter bus mm-hmm. talking. I am actually one-on-one talking to people. And yeah, I love it. I've talked to so many people and it energizes me and it's wonderful.
All right. So then dive into what you're doing now. When you're saying you're talking to lots of people, you're on behalf of the Orange County Department on Aging. And so how does that work? People call up and...
Yes. So I believe it's the penultimate page of the Endless Possibilities.
Oh, she's referring to the catalog.
Yes.
This is a radio show. People do not see it, but I'll do the call.
Page 62.
Listener, she's opened up the catalog. All right, page 62.
But there's a photo of the Orange County public transportation vehicle, which kind of reminds me of like an airport shuttle. They're smaller mm-hmm. versus, you know, in Chapel Hill, we've got the gigantic buses, the accordion style with the
yes.
So it can get confusing. We've got a lot of different options in just within Orange County because we've got rural areas, we've got urban areas, and so my job is to kind of demystify that process. So, and you can call me at 919-717-1853, and I'm happy to give information on transportation, trip planning. My volunteer driving program was probably the most popular thing that I do.
Mm-hmm.
So let me talk about the volunteer driving program.
There's so many follow-up program questions I have.
It's so
okay.
many. I
so let's, all right. Alicia, I'll start.
Okay.
So big picture for me, I'm shocked how ignorant I am about our public transportation system. So when you're helping people, I loved your term demystifying our transportation. How do you walk them through? I'm talking with my hands right now, but if you're, you know, people can't see it, but what are our different public transportation options? And then we'll get into the volunteer driving program in a time.
Absolutely. So Orange County, like I said, is very diverse. And depending on where you live, like the first thing I ask when people are like, what are my options? I'm like, where do you live? Because it's very dependent on your address. Like if you live within the town of Chapel Hill or Carrboro, then you've got access to fare-free buses through Chapel Hill Transit. Mm-hmm. And they're all over the place. And again, I'm happy I'm not an expert on every single bus route, but I am happy to
be a fun quiz later
right?
on.
Yeah,
if we have time, we're totally going
to
quiz her.
I need to get flashcards made, but I know the people that I can talk to get your answers for you. And then if you live in the town of Hillsboro, then Orange County Public Transportation has three fixed routes, and fixed routes are the buses. It's probably what you think about when you think about a bus. They have a stop. They have a fixed schedule.
Okay.
They've got three. They've got one called the Hillsboro Circulator.
Mm-hmm.
It's fare free. The other ones cost $2, and but that depends on your age and disability status. There might be some discounts available. But then, so those are Then we've got Go Triangle,
okay,
which is the regional.
Is that the bus that comes in? I think it's the 420 or something.
Yeah, so the 420 is really interesting. That is a Go Triangle route that goes from Hillsboro to Chapel Hill, but it is operated by Chapel Hill Transit. And
oh, this is, I am drawing this out. This is
that bus
complicated.
Bring the, and that is a link I find maybe to, that brings people from Chapel Hill and Durham into Orange County.
Yeah, so Go Triangle, the 400 route goes from Durham Station to like Franklin Street. They also have there's a park and ride at Eubanks.
Okay.
And there are express routes like the CRX is the Chapel Hill Raleigh.
Oh, I've seen
Express.
That one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so the 420 and the CRX, those don't run all day. They just run during peak travel times, which is, you know, when you think of like the going to work. So
right.
Like 6:30 to 9 a.m. and then like 3:30 to 6 p.m.
Yeah, I gotta ask. Wait,
I'm sorry
to be childish or whatever. Why is it called the 420?
I don't know, and I have asked that since
out of all
started.
The four numbers.
I remembered it, 420. I see it all the time.
Yeah, no, I just I don't know.
I'm sure that.
Yeah, I've looked at roads.
Kids
I'm like,
these
is there
days
a road called
that.
420? But
okay, all right. So yeah, so I diverged us.
I'm still,
us.
Still working.
All right,
on
question
that.
Is
Go Triangle. Yes.
Suppose I needed to get somewhere, and can I call you at that number and say I need to get from Hillsboro downtown to Chapel Hill, and you would tell me the route?
Yeah,
and the buses
absolutely.
And the times.
I can do that under the auspices of the Transportation Helpline. But another resource, and this is easier to remember, is 485-RIDE.
Oh my gosh, there are so many telephone listeners are going to start doing complaint. Like, could you give us more confusing telephone numbers? Okay, so
919-485-RIDE.
What's that?
That's 7433, and that is the Go Triangle,
that's
or
Go Triangle.
Go Transit Information Center. And they can give you information about
how to get around.
Yeah. And
okay.
All right.
I think that's a great place to start.
So if I'm thinking about the different, and there will not be a test, listeners, but so there's Chapel Hill Transit, there's Orange County Transit, and then there's Go Triangle. Okay.
And then we also have PART, which is the Piedmont area for regional transportation, and they have the number 4 bus. I think it goes to the Eubanks Park and Ride. It's that black and red bus. It looks really cool.
I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of looks like, yeah.
It looks like Nike.
Yeah, I'm like, is that a Hurricane bus or something?
That's like, what it looks like, Hurricane bus.
It looks very slick.
All right, now I'm like obsessed with looking out. As folks know, I think we are in a completely windowed, we're literally in a fishbowl here, so now I'm looking at downtown Carrboro and now trying to pay attention to every bus that goes by. All right, so there are three major bus lines, either within Chapel Hill to throughout Orange County, and then crossing out of county lines. So
right.
Those are the three biggies.
Yes.
What else then, just because now I'm having fun more quizzing you. I know that there are other opportunities for traveling if you have a disability.
Yeah, so all of the buses are able to
lift wheelchairs.
Yeah, there's wheelchair lifts. They're accessible.
Yeah.
But you know, sometimes they, due to person's abilities, they can't get to the bus stop. There are no sidewalks. That's not, they have balance issues. So if you are unable to use the fixed route, then there is demand response service.
Mm.
And that used to be called Dial-A-Ride when I first started.
Yes. Right. Okay, I remember hearing that.
It's where you would call in advance and let them know where you need to go. And then they make a route with those requests. So you might be with other people, but they give you a window of time and they will come pick you up. So if you live within Chapel Hill Carrboro, the demand response system is called Easy Rider.
That's the one that I was curious about.
And that's through Chapel Hill Transit, fare free.
Mm-hmm.
There is an application that you have to, for all of these services, there's an application. And that one is going to require some sort of certifying authority to talk about the limitation that
like
you have.
Like a doctor.
Right.
Doctor. I've helped some folks get connected with Easy Rider, and so if they need rides from their home to a doctor's office, to their home to adult day programs, and it's nice because you can either do a one time or you can even set up recurring if you're doing it. That's what I've helped folks
do. That's the idea. And just you are not limited to Easy Rider if you have that service. Like, people's abilities, it just depends on where you are in town, but you can still use the fixed routes It's just that's an additional service that you could be available to you.
Because I've seen door-to-door, so Easy Rider will come to your home and pick you up.
Is it still called Easy Rider?
Isn't that?
Yeah.
Okay. When you mentioned signing up, in order to ride on any of these, you have to...
No, just if you needed a door-to-door service.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, if you were unable to use the buses, the fixed routes, then that's the application.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's Easy Rider, Chapel Hill Carborough. Easy Rider, the one little hitch is that it does not go into Hillsboro. I think it will go as far as...
Does it go in the rural area?
It doesn't. So that's where Orange County Transportation comes in. And so if you live within the town of Hillsboro or in rural Orange, then Orange County Transportation is your demand response provider if that's the services you need.
Mm-hmm.
Again, there's a certification. There are two different kinds of certs for them. Like one that's, they want, it's just general, but then there's another one that if you require ADA accommodations, which that means you live within 3/4 miles of an all-day fixed route, then your bus would be free. So there's a different form. And yeah, so I'm available to help steer you to which one of these.
That's understandable, though. Yeah, yeah. I get it.
Get
because it
could steer,
become.
There's a pun.
There's another one. Steer you in the right direction.
All right, so there's the moral of this story. There's a number of transportation options, but the other moral of the story is this is why you have a job, because it is super confusing.
And needed.
And needed. Yeah. And people need to have. I think a lot of people, it's helpful to have someone they can turn to and say, how does this happen? So people call you, and that's the first thing you do is you say, where do you live and where do you want to...
Where do you want to go?
Where do you want to go?
Yeah, because that's really going to direct, that's going to guide the whole rest of the trip.
Because you're at the Orange County Department on Aging, is it fair to say the majority of people who you work with are over the age of, say, 60? Do you get calls from people who are younger, or is there a different service to help people get where they want to go, not through the Orange County Department on Aging?
Yeah, so that would just be general transportation. Again, that 485 ride.
Oh, okay.
I think that's a great resource. It's Go Triangle. It's a regional call center, so they can get you connected. But again, if you give me a call, I'm not going to be like, how old are you?
No.
Yeah. And then hang up.
You're not cool enough.
No, and then I do get calls from people with disabilities, and then sometimes, which a lot of this, the same stuff applies. And it's not necessarily related to age.
Great. So people call you and they say, I live here in Carborough, or I live in a rural part of Orange County, or I live, and then the second thing is, where do you want to go? What if you get someone who's like, I'm home and I want to be able to go to my doctors, I want to be able to go visit my friends, I want to be able to go food shopping, and I need to be able to leave.
Yeah, that's generally what people need. I mean, that's what transportation is there for. So medical appointments, going to the grocery store, those are the things that I most frequently get called about. And our public transportation services do provide for those. The Chapel Hill Transit buses, you're going to have to transfer a bus, but if you just can use a fixed route, you can get to most of the medical offices here. And then if you need to use the Easy Rider services, they can take you there. If you get Medicaid, there are some, they can get you to medical appointments. And so that's something that you call in advance, and it goes through DSS, and they provide the transportation. They connect you with the transportation provider. And then there is also my volunteer driving program.
Oh, wow.
All right. So I think... I don't want to get to volunteer driving program.
Yeah, no,
I feel like I said, yes, please, Alicia. I have more.
I have, when you're saying this, I know the 420, I know what time it comes in. Are there any time constraints? Like if I'm at Walmart and, oh my God, stop, you know, how do I not get stuck?
Well, that was my question too. Thank you. That's why, go to your doctor's appointment or you go to the grocery store, so they've dropped you off, and then how do I get home?
So if it's like you got picked up, if it was a door-to-door service, then you would... Either give them a window of time for when you're going to be done, and then they will come back in that window. Generally, people will call after the doctor's appointment and the doctor's office.
How late is late?
So they won't do... needs to be wrapped
up
by 4.
Is there a cutoff?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
In Orange County. with it's a little different in Easy Rider. They have longer area, and they run 7 days a week. Orange County only runs 5 days a week with their services.
So 4 o'clock would be the cutoff of
Don't make a 3 o'clock doctor's appointment.
Right, like it can get a little hairy. But they, when you get onboarded with them, they will go through their policies and that kind of thing.
And that's with Easy Rider, so that's right. A much more directed. If someone is taking public transportation,
like the 420,
she is so into the 420.
Yeah, or because the other I chapel. See that in the. In the end of the day as well. I see that like after 5 and 6.
Yeah, I've got to look it up now that the 420 schedule is.
No, don't look it up. I've wondered. I know I see it early in the mornings because I'm out.
So the 420 runs in the mornings and then in the evenings. But midday service is operated through the Orange Chapel Hill Connector, which is an Orange County transportation service.
Okay.
And some people call that the Hill to Hill, which I think is great because Hillsboro to Chapel Hill.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, but it also goes up to Cedar Grove.
So if you're taking, so Easy Rider, that will bring you back. But if, directed, if you're taking public transportation that is more like Chapel Hill Transit and you've taken, and you've gone to the grocery store or the doctor's, is that more a factor of paying attention to what the timing is? Like the bus is going to come back around at 3:48, so
right.
I need to be back or at this stop.
A lot of the buses now have tracking so that you can use an app to see where they are in real time.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's, I love those changes. And I see it. I was just in New York City, and I love when you're in the subway and there's like, this is coming in 3 minutes.
Oh, or wow.
Even with Uber, where you see where they are.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's great that our buses have that.
I mean, that's a major barrier to using public transportation. Like when I first saw a bus schedule just on the side of the street on a stuck to a sign,
right.
I was like... How much does this cost? How can I pay? How do you read this bus schedule?
Yeah, what's eastbound and westbound?
Yeah,
I never can figure that out.
Yeah, so there are some barriers, but 485 Ride is, like I said, a great resource. They have the Regional Information Center, and then, again, also me. I will do my best. But, yeah, like having the – and I do most of my trip planning using Google.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, just if, like, you get driving directions – but I click on the little thing that looks it's like a train,
mm-hmm.
and those are transit directions. And then
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so that's kind of a...
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're just going to ignore that we're on a radio show right now, now we're just having fun.
How
I'm
does this
plugging
work,
in things.
The little train icon and all of that works for someone
transit.
That is 89... Because I'm working around 79, 89, 90. How does that work, even though they want to get around independently using this transportation... How does it work with them pulling it up and tracking and doing this?
I know several people who are super savvy with their cell phones, but these things are also printed, and we can also print out a schedule and send it out to them.
Okay.
So, 'cause sometimes it's just nice to have something to hold.
Right.
You can take notes and...
this is so cool. So, listeners, if you... Everyone, take out your smartphone,
okay.
unless you're driving,
and
then
right.
don't do that. And then open up your, what's it called, Google Maps. And if you put a direction in, I have known for a while that there's the option drive or walk. You know, if you're walking, it's this one. But the third option is, I love that the fourth option is actually riding your bike, cycling. But the third option is transit. And sure enough, when I pressed from my house, from here in the station, it all of a sudden showed me... what buses to take.
Oh, my goodness.
And then I'd have a little bit of a walk home because I'm not that close to a...
But that's... You get the exercise in.
Wow.
And that's the best way you get your steps in.
And it
know
says
that.
40... It would take 41 minutes because it adds in 16 minutes... Or, 31 minutes of walking. And anyway.
Yeah.
So cool. So listeners,
wow.
realize you have the ability to... You don't have to call Brandy if you want to know how to get point to point through public transportation. But it's awesome to call Brandy.
Call Brandy.
Yeah. And then I had to double check the... with Chapel Hill Transit, so the modems went offline. I think it had something to do with when the 3G network was discontinued, the previous real-time information. We got that stuff from that. So, but as of March 13th, 2023, real-time bus tracking in Chapel Hill is available through the Next Bus app. Yeah, so
look at that. We're going to take a bus after this.
I know.
We're going to go next door, get some Amante's Pizza. I always love calling them.
And a beer.
I love their pizza.
And a beer.
Can we take pizza and a beer on public
no.
transportation?
Oh, well.
No, yeah, no food or drinks.
What about pizza and
no
Coke?
Food or
it's
drinks?
Just alcohol.
No, thank you. You don't want to spill anything.
We can't make it the party bus?
No.
Alicia and I are going to
I was going to make it a party bus.
I know that's a separate thing. We'd have to figure out.
After hours.
We'd have to get a private thing. But yeah, we want to keep the bus clean.
Get it to the charter bus service.
Going back to the beginning. We don't want anything sticky.
Okay.
We want to keep it comfortable for everybody.
All right. So now that folks know there's a way they can access it themselves if they have a smartphone, they can call Brandy, and Brandy will talk you all the way through our public transportation system and our kind of group systems. Now tell us a little bit about the volunteer driver program if we want more one-on-one support in a smaller vehicle.
So as we mentioned, there are applications. So sometimes people can be up to a 21-day processing if you need to do the demand response, buses.
So there's not like, I need help tomorrow.
Yeah.
I need help in 22 days.
Right. You need to think ahead, get your stuff in order. But my volunteer driving program is in place to kind of bridge those gaps in service. So I've got about 6 volunteer drivers.
Is this what I was talking about I wanted to be a part of?
Yeah. And
Alicia could be your driver.
I wanted to be
sign up so Alicia will entertain you, get you
party
moving.
Bus. I have a party car.
Yeah, so that you
party
can,
sedan.
Yes, you can totally according if you've got a volunteer driver that's cool with it, you can bring pizza and a drink in your car, and you can pick out the radio station that you like. I always
the only radio station, 103.5.
Obviously.
Oh, look at that. So nice. WCOM Chapel Hill Carborough. All right, so Brandy, you have 6 volunteer drivers, 7 once Alicia gets vetted. Mm-hmm. So these folks, what have they volunteered to do? What kind of driving? How does that work?
Well, they take people to doctor's appointments. They take people to the grocery store.
Are we standby in case they miss the bus or the time?
No, because they need 21 days advance notice.
Well, but with my driving, with a volunteer driving, I ask for 5 to 7 days mm-hmm. notice so that I can send it to my drivers and see who I've got.
Wait, which one was the 21-day notice?
That is the demand response mm-hmm. Easy Rider.
Oh, see, I'm already, there's a test at the end of this. Okay,
all right. No test.
So the volunteer, so 5 to 7 day notice.
Yeah.
And you will arrange. How do you decide who would benefit from a one-to-one driver versus Easy Rider?
Well, anyone who lives in Orange County that's 55 and over can sign up to be a rider mm-hmm. in the volunteer driving program. I just have to come out to your residence, and you have to sign a waiver.
A waiver that you will not sue Alicia or Orange County and the personal driver.
Right. It's the drivers are using their own vehicles.
Right.
They're using their own insurance. It's very
insurance.
It's it's just like a neighbor helping a neighbor.
It's
the Good Samaritan rules.
Tease her question out a little more. What if I've just found out I needed to go in one day and not? It's just urgent.
Let me. I try. It's not in. I try my best. That's all I can do. But a lot of times I do ask people if they can reschedule that appointment so that so I can get a check to see if I've got a driver for a day mm-hmm. that would be available.
Okay.
It's not really set up to do same day or next day.
It's not Uber.
Yeah.
It's not urgent. Like the emergency, for example, my husband has an appointment. They had scheduled it out to the 22nd. They called me today and said, can he come on the third right now? So if... That's Saturday.
Yeah, so anything, things happen. I try to be flexible.
Mm-hmm.
It just depends on the availability of the driver.
Would that fall under the volunteer driver program, whereas you can call me and say, hey, I really have an urgent situation here, or can you do this even as short of notice that you have?
So I send it out to the drivers. And I email it to them. It's very high-tech.
And if they pick it up.
And then they write me back and say they can do it or
okay.
they can't do it. And then at that point, then I connect those two, and there's your ride.
So years ago, I was nicer. No. But years ago, I did some volunteer driving for folks. I was nicer in a different way. And it's not just driving, right? When you're taking someone to the grocery store, is it that they're dropping them off or are they going in grocery shopping with you and then driving you home? So that's...
Well, our program is really just for transportation. I know that there were, helping hand, which is mm-hmm. no longer
Then you have other companion care and home care.
But as far as my program, we are not allowed to transfer weight, though I have helped people with groceries. So, I mean, like, I will.
You can't help the person out of the car, but you can help their grocery bag.
Right, and that just depends on the driver. But, yeah, we typically drop them. The volunteer driver will take them to the where they need to go. And depending on the situation, we'll wait there for them to finish, and then they'll be there.
Got it. So if you drop someone off at Harris Teeter, then they'll just sit and wait in the car for them to come back out. So
they're their own shopping because or they've got another errand, and then when the person that needed the ride is done, they give them a call, and they come back.
So there is driving. It doesn't add an escorting and companionship component. Right. Like and if you're going to the doctor, they'll drop you off at the doctor, and then they'll wait in the car or do something else, and the person will say, come back in an hour.
Yeah. And now, sometimes we do occasionally have folks for, like cataract surgery where they need a driver to sign off, and I send that out to the volunteer drivers, but that is a little bit above and beyond. And I've been able to make a couple of matches that way. So, but it's not...
Colonoscopy also.
Right, yeah,
absolutely. You need to have your driver with you and show your driver, and that way they can bring you home, and they have to come in and, like, walk
That's
you out.
Correct.
Yeah, so, like, as long as there's someone at home, like, the driver can't be responsible for
getting them in the house and settled in. It sounds like... We're at a point in Orange County that we don't leave a person stranded.
Try not to. That's a nightmare that said.
We're not leaving.
Is that the Orange County new tagline? Orange County, we don't keep a person stranded.
Yeah. You're not
There's
stranded.
Your bumper
You're
sticker.
You're not stranded in Orange County.
That should be
Call.
Ooh, I think we just hit something and it made a little feedback. So if we do... anyway, that'd be a great tagline for the Orange County Department on Aging and for your transportation department. All right, so switching gears again... because I do that. We've talked about, I like a little summary. We've talked about public transportation options. We talked about the volunteer driver program. People should contact you if they want to be a volunteer or, again, contacting you, and they could potentially be put into that program to have.
Yeah. And it's so much fun. I really have to talk, like, it is...
You seem so happy with this. You are loving transportation.
The person in my role usually does not drive. And as of May 1st, I am no longer driving as a volunteer, just because I've got to let more people have the fun, and it's not sustainable for me to do it. I've gotten, like, for example, I've had 167 ride requests from 50 different riders since January 1st.
Oh, she's got stats.
Yeah, I looked that up right before.
I love my sexy stats.
And
Okay, wait, so say that one more time.
Yeah, let's do that one.
Since January 1st, I've had 50 riders make 167 ride requests.
Okay, so 50 different people have... Okay, cool.
Wanted to go to 167 different places.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And coordinating that's a major chunk of my job. And so when I'm driving, I can't do that as much as I love it. So I need more drivers because I'm not going to be able to be sort of like the pitch hitter in the future. But
your air traffic control, really. Is,
yeah.
Or
right.
road traffic
road
and
just, traffic yeah. control.
But it is Command so much fun. Engine. Like, you get to... If you're into true crime, like, people that I've given rides to, like, literally will be like, that such and such, that thing happened there. And I'm like, what? That's horrible. And then I look it up and like, oh, yeah, there's like a true crime story about that.
Yeah, the sadness, the stories around town where you can point out. Let's point out happy things around town.
Right. Yes, but still, like, I'm just like, that's just one thing.
What, if that you people want to talk about.
I can hook people up. If you want
you can
the
do
true
your own
person.
Ghost tours, like they have in, like, Charleston and other places. I don't know if they have a Chapel Hill ghost tour or something, but you can.
One of my favorite volunteer driving program sort of connections that we made was have a woman that wanted to adopt a cat, and I got a volunteer driver to take her to the place where she went, and it was actually in Raleigh, and so we got a cat at home.
Wow, that was nice.
I love
and they live there together to this day, and I get updates.
All right, so here's where I'm switching us. So we've been talking about alternatives to driving yourself, but I'd love to dive into that topic because I know that is a gnarly and complicated and emotional issue for older adults, for their loved ones, about how our driving ability changes as we age and when it's time to start thinking about not driving. And you're that amazing resource to say, hey, if you're not driving anymore, I can help you. But I know that you also get involved with that discussion.
Yeah, so...
Does this fall under driving retirement?
Oh, yes. I love that term. Yes, I'd heard the term. Thank you, Alicia. We both heard that term, driving retirement.
Yeah, I mean, people, we are living longer. thanks to, we've got a lot of great resources.
Thanks to good health.
Thanks to Alicia's class.
You know, our abilities to drive, people are very likely to outlive their abilities to drive safely.
Yes.
And that's just a matter of, you know, reduced vision. Like as you get older, you have less peripheral vision. Your reflexes are slower. And the statistics are scary. But I do want, one thing I have to say is that a lot of time older drivers are like, I am a much safer driver than these young folks. And they're not wrong, because older drivers are more likely to use their seatbelts. They follow mm-hmm. the speed limits. Mm-hmm. But
that's not a great comparison, though. I mean, yes, younger drivers, I think, statistically and are the most dangerous. But still, there are changes that happen. If you can talk about some of the changes that happen, that while lots of folks continue to be safe drivers, it gets a little bit more complicated.
Right. Like, you know, if you've been driving for 65 years, it's kind of like a second,
second nature.
Yeah, second nature for you. But, I mean, you forget how complicated it is, because it requires vision, strength, coordination, your reaction
time. Responsible for five of the cars on the road.
Right, you have to be paying attention. And as you get older, your peripheral vision gets mm-hmm. gets smaller. Other things, you're just not connecting as fast. Mm-hmm. So,
and the physicality with it. Well, I don't know how much I'll share about my mom, but this was a big issue with my mom, and she could no longer move her legs as much. So
right.
the ability to use the right foot to press it down.
Right.
She at one point we saw she was trying to drive with both legs.
Gotcha.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
That's
yeah, because she couldn't move from the right to, you know, the gas to the stop.
Yeah,
right.
And flexibility can decrease. So like turning your head to check your blind
right,
spots.
Right.
Like these things, if it hurts, you're probably not gonna do that, and that's gonna make you more likely to have an accident. So it's not that there's no age that someone needs to stop driving. It just depends on the person mm-hmm. and their abilities. And so one thing I like to tell people is that, like, if you're in town and you hear a bunch of honking and waving and you don't know those people, that might be time to like maybe talk to somebody, because you're like, wait,
okay.
You're like, what are they doing? I don't understand why they're honking. Oh, it's because they know me. I've been here so long.
Yeah.
Probably not. Also, you can take a look at your car. Look for any dings.
I was going to say that was big in our family. And then now that my mom's passed away, there's still scratches on the car. And my husband's like, where'd those come from now? But for a while, it was a sign that things were starting to get complicated. All of the bumpers had scratches.
The bumpers, the garage door.
Yes.
The post.
So there are the signs. And are there ways that folks can check their driving skills in a comfortable way, and ways they can start to, I know that I've seen over years numbers of ways Brandy's starting to move her papers around, because I know that there are ways that people can start to check in on their driving skills, and even specific programs they can participate in.
Well, it's key. Self-awareness is key. And I know that's very difficult for everybody, because you can't see yourself.
We are not self-aware.
We are not.
We're very aware of what other people are doing.
That's
very judgmental
true.
Of
Why
other people.
Why are you
people.
Driving so fast?
So trying to keep that in mind, and then accurately assessing your fitness to drive and adjusting accordingly is key. And so there are things you can do, like only drive on familiar roads if you mm-hmm. notice some of your abilities diminishing.
Mm-hmm.
Travel shorter distances. Don't stay away from like the heavily trafficked roads. Travel during daytime, not at night, because that's a big thing. It's like your night vision decreases.
That's been happening with me, and everyone's lights have gotten so bright.
Right.
The headlights.
LEDs,
they have.
I'm like, it's
super bright.
Is this my eyesight or my glasses or it's the cars?
The car.
It's not me, it's you. It's them. But,
yeah.
You know, so, okay. But, yeah, driving at night has become and driving at dusk, I've read somewhere that's actually the most dangerous time.
Because of the sun glares that nobody mentions around
here. Yeah, so all of these things that you can reduce the risk, but it won't eliminate them. You can
mm-hmm.
do the best you can. But, yeah, it's just being...
I think it's tough for a senior or someone to give up their driving abilities.
It's huge.
Of the rights, because they don't want to give up that license.
There is an association between depression and isolation and giving up your driver's license.
Studies and statistics show.
Yeah, and I don't have the thing. But, yeah, I mean, that's not hard to see why, because...
Mm-hmm. It's like giving up.
People feel like a burden. They don't want to have to ask for a ride.
They want their independence.
Right.
They give up their independence.
My program and the public transportation options that are available, that puts them not in the driver's seat, but they are directing
literally
where they
want to go. Figuratively. They can still be in the driver's
seat
in one way. Years ago, this was a bigger issue where people felt that they want on demand. They really want to go. And for those who can afford it, I do feel like Uber and Lyft have been a bit of a game changer, because you really can say, I'd like to go somewhere. And if they're comfortable on the smartphone, I know there have been different services that they're trying to create for older adults where they can pick up the phone and ask for it. That would then connect with Uber and Lyft. But folks really can have that sense of independence. It's just having folks get comfortable with
Get comfortable, think ahead.
About being chauffeured.
I mean, you know, there is something. I did use that line when my mom and I were talking, like, look, you have someone drive you around,
exactly.
And that someone is me. I quit my job so I could drive you around.
Right.
I also talked about driving is not just driving. It's opening the door. It's putting your walker away. It's putting the groceries in the back. I mean, isn't it nice to have someone help you with that?
Exactly.
It's not just literally. It's all the things that come with being able to go out. So for me, I have my own stories. If I ever write it up, I already have a title. It's going to be called Driving Me Mad.
All about the
craziness and sort of the beauty when we had that talk with my mom. But what are the advice, tips and tricks you have for other people when they want to have the talk with loved ones?
You don't want to minimize the importance of driving, just because, like as we discussed, like that is their independence. Mm-hmm. It's tied up to everything. People, they've been driving sometimes before they were 16, like depending on the situations.
Yeah.
And so it's nobody wants to hear you can't do this anymore.
Exactly.
So it helps if you don't approach it from a, oh my God, this, you're a terrible driver, what are you doing? Like, hey, I've noticed these things, this such and such. Like, you ran that red light. And but also gather folks around that care about them and that they respect, and friends, and been like, you know, I saw when you bumped into that and that's how you got that dent.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to, maybe we can start changing some of the ways that you drive, like just going.
I drive fine.
In
what
the
are
middle
you
of the road.
About?
You're in the middle of the road.
I'm fine.
Yeah.
You know, so when you get the pushback, so clearly I was doing a little bit of role play with
right.
you.
Right. Yeah.
I'm
no, you're
fine.
Gonna...
I don't need to. It's everybody else. I'm. You know.
Mm. Yeah. You're gonna get pushback. It is such a hard conversation. Yesterday I was in a webinar, and I think it was something like 80% of healthcare providers would rather have end of life discussion versus end of driving.
Wow.
Whoa.
And
yeah, I haven't heard that one. Two complicated conversations, but
I'd rather
a lot of people equate it. And so I think
I didn't
know
it was that strong of a.
I will tell you,
wow.
It's interesting that you're bringing that up, because what I was just about to say before that is I have so much love for my mother's previous physician who retired, and so I was going to do a shout out to providers out there. So it's interesting that you had that statistic. That was the turning point. And my mother had an older doctor that was nearing retirement. He retired just a few months later. And I had already set up an appointment for a driving assessment, which we'll tell folks how to do. Because of my links in the field, I knew about the Great Duke Driving Assessment Program. Right. I had set one up for my mom, and she's like, I don't think I need that. And then while we were in her appointment with her physician, I said, hey, I've set up mom with this appointment. What do you think about driving assessment? And he was amazing. And he said, oh, I think it's wonderful. And she said, really? And this is a peer to my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I'm doing it too.
Oh.
And she's like, really? And he said, yeah, you know, I'm getting to the age I want to make sure that my eyesight's working well. And I would never want to be responsible for a catastrophe on the road that I was a part of. Oh, that's such a great program. And it was... He did so much more than I could have ever done, because this is peer-to-peer.
Relative. And
he's like, oh, it's a wonderful program. I'm doing it too. And she was like, oh, all right.
Yeah.
And so any providers out there, please don't avoid having this conversation. You are trusted. You are not the loving but naggy child or spouse. You're just the point of reason.
Right. Yeah. And they're trusted. To hear it from someone else, not me.
So clearly... I just threw out the Duke Driving Assessment Program, but Brandy, tell folks what that is and other programs that
sure.
I'm sure you know
so,
what that is.
Well,
yeah.
Duke has a driving assessment program, and I believe that you get an a simulator. They do different kinds of exercises, like you're not actually driving. I would actually like to try it just to see.
Oh, okay, I'll tell you what it is.
Yeah,
no, it's wonderful. It is a series.
You did it?
My mother did it, and I was with her. It's a battery of tests that they do. You go, and there is a there's a few hurdles. You need a physician's referral, so I had to go to her doctor and get a referral. It has a cost. We did this. This was a number of years ago, so it was about $200. So we had to pay privately, which is sort of like, sorry, we're paying money to have them suggest you don't drive anymore. But then they do a series of tests. They do cognitive tests. They do memory tests. So they're checking your cognitive ability. Then they literally have a simulator, and it's like a video game. And so first they're testing your response time. So you're looking at a screen, and all of a sudden a soccer ball comes at you, and you have to press the button with your foot. So some are driving, some are reaction time, and then you have to do the reaction time with your foot. And that's when we noticed my mom was doing both legs, one on the gas, one on the brake. And she was like, no, just one leg. So there was that. And then there was a series of physical assessments where she had to walk and do a certain amount of showing how long it takes to get up and to walk 10 or 15 feet. I'm not sure, but with every single activity she did, it's run by an occupational therapist. The occupational therapist would say, okay, according to our research, the goal, the reaction time needs to be like 0.2 seconds, and anything over that is unsafe. And then she would say, and your number was X. And so it, over the hour, it was sort of painful, but...
Did it show that she was unsafe?
Yeah. It continued to show for physical reasons that the reaction time just wasn't there anymore. And it was the data that she needed to say, hey, a safe driver would have been able to do this in 1 second and it took you 10 seconds. It was painful at the time, but it was helpful because then she said, I'm going to recommend. Some people she recommends, which is she in this case, hey, why don't you just drive familiar roads, or why don't you not drive at night? In this case, the recommendation was, why don't you stop driving? And I said, Mom, this is why I'm here. And so that independence, I will help out. It was right after my own story of leaving my job in order to take care of my parents. And so we left there and went right to Denny's and had a grand slam breakfast because I knew that she loved it. And I was like, you are still going to do all the things you love. And so we never talked about it again. And then a few weeks later, the pandemic happened and then nobody was going anywhere. But the Duke occupational assessment, driving assessment is just an amazing program. I know there are other programs, and I see we're almost running out of time, but I want you to have a chance to tell about some of the programs.
To encourage people to check out Endless Possibilities.
That's right.
Again, what did y'all say?
We called the Endless Possibilities Catalog.
Yes, the catalog, because there are safe driving classes offered by AAA.
And those have no cost, correct?
There is a slight cost,
I was so excited
about
that.
But I think I might be able to pay for it if you were a volunteer driver. So,
wink, wink. There you go, Alicia.
And then one thing I really wanted to push is we are doing, our occupational therapists and I are working on CarFit one-on-ones.
Right, that's in here too.
Yeah, and so that is, it's developed by the AAA, the AARP, and the American Occupational Therapy Association. And it is to ensure that your car fits you. And I said it's one-on-one. There's a checklist that we go through, and I did it myself, and I adjusted my mirrors, and I really increased the amount that I could see behind me with the...
And with the new cars now, I just realized that my mirrors with a button tilted in and out.
Right.
I did not even know that for like 6 months.
And so they go in...
Yeah.
One of the things in CarFit...
Wait. You didn't know your mirrors, that you can change your rear, like your side mirrors to... Okay, no judgment, though I do sound super judgy right now.
I do, but
Alicia.
I didn't. It was a button. I mean, I would do it, but...
Oh, you do it with your hand. You didn't know you had a button.
I didn't know I had a button that actually did it.
Right, and CarFit, like, we don't know what every car's bells and whistles are, but that one part of it is just, are you aware of these safety features?
That's good. It's on page 2 of the catalog.
We're going to have to do like a read-along with our listeners who are at home and not driving while they're listening.
Right.
Pull out your Endless Possibilities. One of the great things that I know the CarFit program, I'm assuming, can help you with, because it was through OTs, I know what happened with the Duke driving assessment, is there's all these cool tools. So because of my mom's physical issues, there's this awesome leg lift, and she showed it to us, and then I ordered on Amazon for $9. I ended up getting two of them, one for each car, and I would put it under her foot, and it would help to bend and lift her leg out of the car, so that way I don't have to bend down and use my back. So it actually was a safety device for myself. Yeah. And that came out of their version of a CarFit program when they said, you know, I think you'll really benefit. So I love that. And you've seen, I've seen those other ones that the hook thing, I bought those, but I never was able
to put it in. Yeah, so you can have like a place to lift up.
Yeah, it's a handle thing. They sell them at like Walgreens
now. It like sticks in your, in the door.
Yeah, it sticks in the door, and then you can lift yourself up, and then you also have it to break the window if you ever have a crisis. But I never could quite make it work. But yeah, there's all these cool things. There's the swivel.
Yes.
The swivel chair. Or... listeners, the free tip, did you know you could put a trash bag under you? See, I really...
Oh, for slipping, that would reduce the friction, so you...
No, it does, yeah, so if you put a black trash bag under your bottom while you're driving, and then if you have a hard time swiveling to get out of the car, it just, it makes a little slip. So that way you can more easily turn.
Well,
and so there's your free DIY.
That's a good one.
Well, this is kind of related in terms of walking, and boots are made for walking, but if you can't get your boot on, if they're really tall, then you can slip, put your foot into a bag, and that can kind of give you some extra slipperiness.
There's so many cool things, and I realize we are so into this conversation. Like, at one point, Alicia was literally, I don't know if you noticed,
I can't believe,
sitting on the edge of the desk, face totally away from the microphone, like, tell me this. Like, we... Brandy,
we'll have to do it again.
I know. Well, we are going to do it again because December 7th, I know it's right around my daughter's birthday, is the Safe Driving Week.
Right.
Oh. So you and I know Marie Dagger, you're going to come back for Older Driving Safety Awareness Week. I hate that I have to stop us, but I have to stop us, Brandy.
Well, this was great. Thank
it
you
was.
So much.
It was. You were so worth waiting for and looking forward to again.
Because, I know.
I mean, you know, I want to put your name on the buses. Brandy! Call that number. Brandy, ride you! Go ride, Brandy!
Well, thank you, Brandy. Thank you, Alicia. And thank you, everyone, listening to today's Aging Well Together. We are on WCOM FM 103.5 FM, Chapel Hill, Carrboro. And with that, we will talk with you all soon.
I've tried to live without you and hold my head up high, but every time they play our song, it makes me cry. I've tried to find a new love and let these memories die, but every time I hear our song, I have to cry. I try to go to sleep each night and dream my blues away, but every time I close my eyes, the music starts into play. And then I can't forget you, no matter how I try. Every time I hear our song, I have to cry. I try to go to sleep each night and dream my blues away, but every